Jay Michael Edwards here, welcoming you back for part two of step three of our series, Tinnitus, The Art of Habituation, Seven Steps to Peace. Today, Don completes our lesson on the process of thought. There is a lot to digest, so buckle up. Let's join Don as he teaches part two of Possibility Thinking, The Process of Thought.
Thank you, as always, J. Michael. Before I complete this important lesson, I want to mention something. We can see how many listeners we have for each of our lessons. That's part of the analytics we have on these podcasts. And it's clear that we have lost some of the tinnitus sufferers that we started with. So, one of two things has to be true. Either I'm a poor teacher, and that may be true, or that people don't want to work hard to have peace from this disability that we suffer from. Now, personally, I think the latter is true. Not because my pride would be hurt if someone told me I was a crummy teacher, but because we live in a world where people would rather take a pill than do the hard work towards the successful completion of a worthwhile goal, or as we call it here, perfection. The take a pill and lose weight industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, even though it does not work. I know we see people, Marie Osmond and others, talk about this. She would be part of this eat food and you will lose weight crowd. That's even a bigger industry. You know, if you pay me enough money, I'll do the same thing. But and these things, they always make you gain back more weight than you started with. And the food is more expensive than if you were to purchase it at a grocery store. So that's kind of a lose-lose proposition. You know, so it is with our tinnitus. All the pills, all the lotions, all the techniques, all the masking noises, the eardrops, and all those things, if those things worked, that'd be great. I'd rather do that than have to go through the process I went through to habituate. That would have been great, but it just doesn't work. But that's our society today. Everything now. I turn my computer on and I want it to come up right away. I remember having a computer back in 1980 when I was just kind of getting going into my food service career. And I got the first Mac computer that our company had. And I would turn it on and I would wait for 5 minutes for it to warm up. And no matter what I did, you had to wait. Download a picture. You might as well go make yourself a cup of coffee and toast a bagel. It took forever. Now if it takes more than a nanosecond, we want something. My wife, she has a Windows 10 on her new laptop I got her. And it just wasn't working fast enough. So I took it in and they said, oh, you've got a mechanical hard drive. And so they put this newfangled hard drive in there and man, now it's just lightning fast. We want everything now. We are a now generation. I said from the very beginning that this would be hard work and that many would drop out. And I also said, if I can help just one person, the creation of this series would be worth it. And I still mean that. I've said many times, I get no financial rewards out of doing this. I know we have a commercial from our anchor platform, but they kind of require us to do that. That's our sponsor part. And anyway, I just wanted to mention that I hope you are not in that crowd that you're going to go, oh, this is just too hard, and so I'm going to quit. We have some really important lessons coming up. This lesson today, if you get this lesson, if you can really understand this lesson, it can literally change your life. And I don't say that flippantly. And again, I'm not looking to get hired by anybody for doing this, but this is what I'm going to be sharing today. This can change your life, not just your tinnitus, not just help you habituate so you can find the peace that you so deserve. But as we get into this, and I'll explain this as we go on, I've got a little bonus section at the end. It will help you change to the person that you want to be. So as in part one, this gets a bit technical, but it is crucial for us to completely habituate to our tinnitus. And I'll recommend again that you have a number two pencil and paper ready. No, it doesn't have to be number two pencil, but that's what our teachers always told us back when I was in grade school. You had to have a number two pencil, but I digress. So why is it we don't see all of the truths around us? Why do we live a life with no peace and often with incorrect beliefs about what we suffer from? With the completion of this step, we will learn how to break the chain that is holding us back from the life we so deserve. In this lesson, we will learn how our own thought processes actually work. And we're going to learn how our own thought processes often hold us back. We will understand the three processes of thought. Those are the conscious, the subconscious, and something you may never heard of, the creative subconscious. And I'm going to go slow. I know I sound silly talking so slow, but I know sometimes I talk too fast. And so I'm going to really try consciously, speaking of that, consciously, because I subconsciously talk too fast. So I'm going to try consciously to talk a little slower so I don't miss any words here. And so this step reveals how our thought process works to form our self-image. And we will discover how our self-image is the controlling factor in the way we behave towards our disability of tinnitus. Because we must act as we see ourselves to be. Our behavior automatically produces the behavior that is consistent with our self-image. And with that, I hope I didn't lose you there. What I said in simple terms is we act in accordance to how we see ourselves. We are who we are is what we think we are. What we can be is what we think we can be. All meaningful and lasting change starts from the inside and works its way out. The typical tinnitus relief solutions work from the outside in. Listen to this music. Take this pill. Go to this therapist. Thump your head. Use these hearing aids. All of these start from the outside, but they never work their way into our head, which is the origination of tinnitus. And I'm going to repeat myself again. If some of these things help you, then by all means, keep on doing it. But they won't help you to get to habituation. And so it's important that we understand the process of thought. As we think, we react. We must understand the how and the why of what we think. In short, how our mind works. The mind works on two levels, the conscious and the subconscious. But these two parts of the mind do not operate independently from each other. They are not two separate minds. They are simply functions within our mind. Each of these separate and unique qualities and powers exist in our minds. So, and follow me here now, the subconscious level of your mind also has two aspects, the subconscious and the creative subconscious. Your mind then has three separate but associated processes. These are called, once again, the conscious, the subconscious, and the creative subconscious. So let's take a look at these three levels. First of all, the conscious mind. This is the part of our mind that perceives the world. It perceives reality through input from our five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. The conscious mind maintains contact with reality. The consciousness is the rational function of our mind that investigates reality. Is it real? Our conscious will determine if it is real or not. Is that hot? Our conscious mind will determine if that's hot. Does that taste good? Our conscious mind will decide if that tastes good. And so, the subconscious mind. Think of the subconscious as a memory device that stores your interpretation of reality. Just like a thumb drive or your hard drive on your computer, your subconscious records and stores your perception of the information it receives. It records all of our experiences, what we think, what we say, what we imagine about ourselves, and our emotional reaction to those experiences. It is also storing how we are feeling about our tinnitus and how we feel about the cure. Everything that goes in to our subconscious stays there. I see it as little file cabinets, thousands and thousands of little file cabinets with all this information stored. Everything you've ever seen or thought or touched or smelled, everything you heard, things you've heard, are stored in your subconscious. Not all of them can be brought up readily. That's why sometimes people go to hypnotists to get into their subconscious and try and bring something up. So I want you to think about your subconscious mind as a blank canvas at birth. Throughout the years, brushstrokes are added with each new experience. This adds up to a picture of reality that we call truth. I have that in quotes. But this truth may only be seen in the eye of the beholder. Your truth is not everybody's truth. My truth may not be your truth. It is only the truth, in quotes again, as we perceive it to be. And again, I know this all sounds like psychological babble, what I've nicknamed woo-woo stuff, but it's not. It's really not. You need to trust me on this. It is not babble. So what do you think the truth is, and again, truth is in quotes, what do you think the truth is regarding your tinnitus? Is your truth, there's a cure just waiting? I know there's a cure. Is that your truth about tinnitus? Is your truth that some pill, it'll make you all better. If I could just find the right pill, if I can just order the right pill off of Amazon.com or something like that, go to an audiologist and get the right hearing aids. Hearing aids will help me with my tinnitus. It'll make it better. Is that your truth? Is your truth that you're going to go insane or worse if it does not stop? Is that your truth? All of these truths, again in quotes, these are the truth as you perceive them. Or is the truth your belief that you can obtain peace if you can learn to habituate to it? Is that your truth? I can do this. I believe that if I follow this through to the end, I can habituate to it. Whichever of those or other subjective thoughts are the truth to you, you will continue to be angry and frustrated until you decide to change the picture in your mind. I've mentioned before, I see these people on these Facebook groups, and they're angry and they're frustrated. You see the ones about suicide. I just can't take it anymore. Their truth is they'll never get better. Their truth is I can't take this. Their truth is there's never going to be a cure. And they're angry and they're frustrated. They ask some of the silliest questions, but I understand how their mind works. And just for completeness, there is a second function of the subconscious mind, and that is the handling of automatic living functions. Your heartbeat, you don't have to consciously tell your heart to beat. Your breathing, you don't consciously tell your lungs to breathe. Your digestion, you don't consciously tell your stomach to digest the food. All of these things are done through your subconscious. Do you ever think about tying your shoes? Okay, let's see, how does this go? No, you do it subconsciously. Our habits, whether they be good or bad, are done subconsciously. Most of our habitual behavior is good for us. It enables us to function efficiently. But some habits stored in the subconscious level can be barriers. These stored habits can obstruct us when we choose to change. Have you ever wondered why doing new things causes anxiety and stress? Old habits, old attitudes, and obsolete opinions are why people of any age fail to keep growing or changing. Maybe, and this is something I struggled with, and I'll share it at the end of this segment, public speaking. People fear only one thing greater than death. They fear public speaking. So if somebody asked you to go up and give a half-hour dissertation on tinnitus, and you're going to talk to 1,000 people, would that give you a heart attack? Your old self is saying, you can't do this. And so your subconscious is saying you can't do this. What's going to keep you from being able to learn to do that? Maybe you play an instrument, a piano, a violin, a guitar, maybe a horned instrument. I was a drummer. But playing your instrument in front of an audience, let's say you were asked to go to Carnegie Hall. I've got a friend who has a choir that goes to Carnegie Hall on a regular basis. But you were asked to play your instrument at Carnegie Hall. How would you feel about that? There's going to be 2,000 people there. How would you feel about that? Trying to establish a routine of exercise and weight loss. You do it 2 or 3 days, 4 days maybe, and then the next week is maybe once or twice, and all of a sudden you've stopped. Why is that? Is that because you're lazy? No. Not at all. You have not gotten around those old habits and old attitudes and these obsolete opinions. Living your tinnitus, living with your tinnitus. It's the same thing. I talked about I can't in the last segment. I can't. Our old habits, our old attitudes say I can't. I can't do this. I can't habituate. This guy's crazy. And there's so many more I could mention, but I don't want this to be too lengthy. It's going to be a little lengthy anyway, but the degree that old habits, attitudes, and opinions literally lock out. Remember that? Lock out, lock on, lock out. These old habits, these old attitudes, these old opinions will lock out new opinions, new attitudes, new habits that can cause you to grow and progress. To this degree, they block a person's ability to habituate to their tinnitus. Our old thoughts, our old feelings, our old habits, these things will cause us to lock out new opinions like what I have here, a way to habituate. And that's why some people have quit. They want to go back to their old ways, old attitudes, old opinions, etc. And so that was the conscious and the subconscious, which is what we think of all the time. Oh, I just subconsciously do that. Well, I've got to consciously think about that. Let me give you now the creative subconscious. The creative subconscious. And this is what I've been trying to lead up to for some time. The creative subconscious. This part of our brain maintains our reality by making us act like the person we see ourselves to be. Let me go over that again. The creative subconscious. This part of our brain maintains our reality by making us act like the person we see ourselves to be. The creative subconscious maintains your self-image or your picture of yourself. In order to keep your sanity, you must act like your subconscious picture. That's the real you. That's who you see you as. For example, if you see yourself as a poor public speaker, your creative subconscious will cause you to stutter and stammer and be nervous, and you won't do it. You won't do it. Again, I've got a little story at the end of this about this. You won't do it. You will say, yep, that's just like me. I knew I'd fail. I knew I'd give up. I am just a poor public speaker. Or using the weight loss again, the weight loss for the fifth time, and you fail for the fifth time. You say, yep, that's just like me. I can never lose weight. And you'll often make some excuse. Well, I've just got a slow metabolism. Well, this and well, that. Your creative subconscious keeps you acting in a consistent manner with your image of yourself. Let me say that again. Your creative subconscious keeps you acting in a consistent manner with your image of yourself. What is your image of yourself? How do you see yourself? Think about that for a second. How do you see yourself? That action, how our creative subconscious makes us act, that can be positive as well as negative. And so I'm going to give you a few statements, and I'd like you to consider them. Then decide whether or not they remind you of truth, again in quotes, that you believe about yourself. And again, some are positive, some are negative. So let's go here. The first, I always mess things up. I always mess things up. Number two, I am terrible at remembering names. I'm just terrible at remembering names. I can never remember anybody's name. Or, I have no problem remembering names. Some people, that's what they say. I can remember names. You can too. You can too. Number four, I always enjoy a challenge. I always enjoy a challenge. Is that what you think? Can you say that? I always enjoy a challenge. Number five, I never like being around people. I never like being around people. Number six, I don't like myself. I don't like myself. Have you ever told yourself that? I don't like myself very much. Number seven, I can habituate to my tinnitus. I can habituate to my tinnitus. One more, number eight, I'll never learn to live with my tinnitus. I'll never learn to live with my tinnitus. How we visualize ourselves and our situation will be the outcome of our actions. And I'll repeat that again. How we visualize ourselves, how we see ourselves and our situation will be the outcome of our actions. A person who is trying to lose weight must visualize themselves as having lost that weight. They must see themselves that thin. And then when they do, the creative subconscious will send the signals to the subconscious that being thin is real and the truth, and the subconscious will signal the conscious to act according to the new reality, I am thin. And then the conscious will create actions to get to where that new vision of myself is, I am thin. We always act according to the truth, in quotes, as we perceive it. And the I am thin truth will lead to a good diet, some exercise, and a positive self-image. And here's the reality in our journey to perfection. If we perceive the truth as being able to habituate and live a fulfilled life and picture ourselves as having reached the goal, that's perfection, we will. Not might be able to, but we will. But that has to be your truth. That has to be your truth. I can reach this goal. Your subconscious will take that new truth, that new reality that it has received from the creative subconscious, and feed it into your consciousness, and that will create the mindset necessary to make the change. The mindset necessary to make the change. We're going to discuss that at length in our next step to habituation. You may ask yourself at this point why I have wasted your time with these steps. And, you know, that would be a reasonable self-question. But I would ask you to accept the reality that this is leading to something that is going to allow you to fight the perception of your old truth and go on to the achievement of the goal of habituation. The old truth is, I can't stand this. The old truth is, I'll never get through with this. The old truth is, why can't this screaming in my head stop? What you need to do is establish a new truth of I can do this. I can achieve habituation. I will stay on and complete this to the end, and I can reach habituation. And you know, I have tried all along to get sufferers to stay with me. And I know some people say, well, he's just doing this, he got a sponsor, he just wants money. No, not at all. It was crucial in the early stages that I lay a foundation so I could get to the walls and the ceiling, the roof, and the decorations. If you listen to my introduction, and I hope you have, I hope you just didn't join us here at this stage of the lessons. If you did, you need to go back because you will not understand what I'm saying. You've got to go back and start with a foundation because I've laid the foundation. We're getting now because the foundation is complete. And I hope that that new reality is that there is no cure. You say, what? Did you say that wrong, Don? No, the reality must be there is no cure. We must change the mindset. We must change how we see this. There is no cure. Stay away from people that want to keep telling you that there's a cure. That just creates stress and that makes your tinnitus spike. The new reality, pills don't work. That must be the new truth. That must be the new reality. Thumping your head hundreds of times, that's a gag. You need to understand that's a gag. I see it on websites and I see it even on these tinnitus groups. Oh, if you just thump your head, the back of your head, right at the atlas, then it'll jar your brain. The new reality, you can habituate and live the life you deserve. That must be your new thought process. You've got to feed that into your subconscious, your creative subconscious. And as I have had to split step three into two parts, I am going to combine steps four and five into one. Going over my notes, I can do that and not lose any pertinent instructions. The next step will focus on the object of our anger and frustration. And I'm going to tell you this, the object of your anger and frustration is not tinnitus. Tinnitus is the byproduct of this object. These next steps are the good stuff. You want to get to the good stuff. You want to get to the house. Okay, tell me, stop dragging me along. If you have had the courage to stay with me all along, I'm telling you, you will be rewarded with the process of habituation. Now, here's the extra. Allow me to step out of my habituation hat just for a minute and step into my consultant hat. It is part of my desire to help others as I have helped others over the years. This process I have taught in these last two lessons works every time in every area of your life. Maybe you see yourself as a poor parent. Maybe you perceive yourself as not smart enough to finish your degree. Maybe you see yourself as ugly or unloved. To overcome these negative pictures, you must change the picture of yourself in your mind. For instance, if you see yourself as fat, you've got to tell yourself you are thin. And I mean, really tell yourself over and over and over and start seeing yourself. My wife had to lose a lot of weight. I wouldn't bought her a dress in the size she wanted to get down to. She had a visual goal to look at this dress. It was a really nice dress. I bought it at Nordstrom's. It was really expensive. But she got into it. She saw herself in that dress, and she reached that goal. If you see yourself as uneducated, you must tell yourself you are intelligent, and you will create the actions necessary to achieve perfection in that area of your life. Now, let me ask you, did you see the movie Wizard of Oz? I think most everyone has. Our heroes, Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man, and the Lion. The Scarecrow thought he was stupid and he wanted a brain. The Tin Man wanted to have a heart. He wanted to be able to feel things. The Lion, he wanted to be courageous. And Dorothy, she just wanted to go home. Oh yeah, and then there was Toto. He wanted to go home too. And so our heroes meet up with the Wizard of Oz, and they thought that he could give them what they wanted because he was the Wizard of Oz. Of Oz, of Oz, of Oz, of Oz. We're going to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. You remember that. And so they got up there and they got in front of the wizard. And they were afraid, and then they saw the guy, you know, pay no attention to the guy behind the curtain. And he comes out, and even though he wasn't that big, scary Oz guy, he was just a man, they still believed in him. They still believed that he could give them what they so desired. Again, the Tin Man, he got a ticking clock representing a heart, and he started to cry because Dorothy was going home. The Scarecrow, he got a diploma. And all of a sudden, now he has a brain. The Cowardly Lion, he got a medal for courage, and then he roared like a real lion. My question is, did any of these characters leave with anything they didn't have when they walked into the wizard's chamber? Did they leave with anything that they didn't have when they came in? No, they had nothing. I mean, yeah, a piece of paper and a medal and a ticking clock. But here's the key. They believed that the wizard could give them what they thought they didn't have. But they had the potential all along. They just didn't believe in themselves. The wizard gave the Scarecrow that diploma. He starts to rattle off all those mathematical equations. And again, you know, the Tin Man, he started crying. Then he was wishing maybe he didn't have a heart because he was starting to rust. And that Lion, boy, he got courage. He had newfound strength. It wasn't magic. It was self-confidence. They all saw themselves differently. Their perception of the truth was different, so they acted differently. Oh yeah, Dorothy and Toto, they got to go back to Kansas. We have wizards in our life. our parents. They are wizards. Doesn't matter how old they become, they're still wizards in our life. Our school teachers, wizards. Our church clergy, wizards. Our friends and our family, our neighbors, they can become wizards. But let me tell you this, our greatest wizard is ourself. What we tell ourselves, what we say to ourselves, we look in the mirror and we say something to ourselves all the time. Maybe it's not vocalized or verbalized, but we say things in our mind. We're taught that if we say in a mirror that I like myself, that that's being prideful. And I guess you can cross that line. But what you tell yourself is who you are. Your creative subconscious will believe self-talk more readily than any acquaintance, any of our family, or otherwise. What you tell yourself becomes truth. And that truth is sent to the subconscious from the creative subconscious. It's evaluated as truth and subsequently sent to the conscious to act upon that truth. And let me tell you my story, quick story here. I grew up a stutterer. I was mocked and teased right on through high school. People were embarrassed to be with me. But I decided, through the power of God in my life and a belief that I could do anything I put my mind to, that I would become a public speaker. I told myself, I can do this. Eventually, it became reality. I set a 25-year goal. At the end of that 25-year goal, I was invited to be the keynote speaker at my alma mater, which I did. I started off bad. My wife in the stands almost started crying. But then, I believe God got me through it. But I got through it. From then on, I have never ever refused an invitation to speak publicly. And I've spoken in front of thousands and thousands of people on multiple occasions. And now, I'm a pastor. I've pastored two churches. The key was a positive self-talk, telling myself I can do it, combined with my faith in God. It is the same with my tinnitus. For years, I tried everything, every doctor, every dopey technique, every exhausting all these roads to nowhere. So finally, after doing all of that, I took matters into my own hands. And I could share multiple stories of how a kid who was washing dishes at 13 to buy school clothes became president of a multinational business, a business owner, and a pastor. I never went to college, barely graduated high school. I believed in myself. I grew up not believing in myself. I got married 52 years ago, and my wife Cookie tells a story. She says for 25 years he wouldn't say a word. Now I can't get him to shut up. And there's some truth in that. But I'm going to share with you in our next step what I did to achieve these accomplishments. So stay with me. Stay with me. I want things in your life to change. This is a course on living with tinnitus, habituating. But this, what I'm teaching, if you will allow it to and allow me to, you will accomplish great things in your life, including habituation. You can do this. So, until next time, see you in the academy.
J. Michael here again. Wow, that was a lot to chew on. Full disclosure, Don is my brother, I'm a few years younger than him and much better looking, but I have seen him fight through his disabilities throughout his life. His success has always been based on his belief that he can do anything with his positive attitude and through the power of God in his life, and he has always succeeded. We hope you will take this information and allow it to help you habituate to your tinnitus and give you the resources necessary to reach perfection. Until next time, see you in the Academy.